Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Shri Gaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dhamma ki jai. Mathura Dhamma ki jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma ki jai. Gangamaya Jamuna Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namaste. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachani Nivase Sasanyavadi Paskachade Satani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavam Chashi Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamam Stam Sajivam Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Panchakalpa Chubhyascha Kripa Sindhya Vitapati Chanam Pavani Yo Vaishnava Yo Maha. So it's April 16, 2016 in Alachua, Florida, and we're going to be going through Manashiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami with commentaries of Bhaktivinoda Thakur verses 1 through 5, and tomorrow we'll be doing verses 6 through 12. We are going to go rather quickly through verses 1 through 5. At Krishna House, we're going more in depth. We're doing just two verses a day. And we still have in Krishna House Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where we'll be doing 6 and 7, 8, 9, 10, and then 11 and 12. So if after these 2 days you'd like to go more into depth on those verses, then you're also welcome to come to Krishna House. So I know we just have time to touch these things in today's class. I realize that there's probably going to be a lot more of unanswered questions, and I'm asking you to bear with me with the time that we have. So why is Manashiksha important? Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Jaivadharma says it's one of two padatis to attain love for Krishna in Vrindavan. And pada means foot and hati means progress. To make progress step by step. And I don't know about all of you, but what I found many, many times in my study of the Shastras was that there was a lot of explanation about how to go from materialistic life to spiritual life. And then there was a lot of explanation of perfection. And the explanation of how to progress in Krishna consciousness, somehow, many times I felt it didn't address what I was actually going through. You know, chant Hare Krishna and immediately you see Krishna. And I thought, well, I don't chant Hare Krishna and just immediately see Krishna. What are the inner steps to take? And it's interesting, I find fascinating, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that Rupa Goswami gives what to do, but it's Raghunath Das Goswami who tells us how to do it. Now, once studying Manashiksha, you immediately see that what Srila Prabhupada gave us is completely in line with Raghunath Das Goswami's process. What I like about Manashiksha is its concise 12 verses shows you what are you really doing internally to become Krishna conscious. What's happening in your consciousness, in your mind, and in your heart? What steps that you should take? And because this is a deep padati, my experience in the last 3 years of working on this book was that it wasn't an overnight novel kind of book. It was the sort of thing that you read it and then you go, oh, that's kind of heavy. And then you take a while and you pray on it and you practice it and you really make it part of you. And then you come back again and you read some more. And it's just this guidebook to our own development of Krishna consciousness. And the other reason that it's very important is it establishes that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was teaching the path of attaining Krishna in Vrindavan as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I was talking about this with Ramapada Swami recently in Houston. And for that reason, that it's being published this year, which is the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, I take as not being insignificant or inconsequential. You know, we had that book in the early days of ISKCON, The Krishna Consciousness Movement is Authorized. So we'll discuss this a little bit more in verse 3. I will not have time to discuss this in depth here. As I said, we have a chapter in the book. So Manushiksha is divided into three main areas. And the first three verses deal with the qualification for coming on this path. Your compass. Where are you going? What's your goal? What kind of person do you need to be? What kind of frame of mind do you have to have? What's your relationship with Guru and Gauranga? The next four verses are getting really into the path itself. As Raghunath Das Goswami called the shining path. And with each step, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, we'll do 4 and 5 today, 6 and 7, Krishna willing, tomorrow, take you deeper and deeper and deeper into more and more subtle and tricky areas of illusion and their counteraction. Then in verses, the next four verses are the past imperfection. How does one go deep into perfection? And the last verse is a benedictory verse. So we're going to start with verse 1. And my problem is that when I use my phone as my remote, I can't, the text is really small and I'm in kind of the wrong angle to see this. Raghunath Das Goswami says that if one just sings these verses very sweetly, trying to understand their meaning, that just doing that will give one the jewel of love for Krishna in Braja. So I'd like us to sing the verses, but I don't think I can do it very well myself with this, so I'm going to need a lot of help, because I can't read it very well. Now, it's the tune of Jagannath Astakam, except don't change the last line. So the last line should be sung in the same, exactly the same as the first three lines. Everybody get that? I'd like us to do it all together, not responsibly. Okay, so if we can all do that together. Gurau Koste Gostava Ishi Sujane Gusura Gane Swamani Treshinam Nidra Janava Yuva Dvandva Sharane Saradambam Hidva Kura Tima Purvam Atitaram Aye Swantar Vratascha Tubiya Viya Chedrita Paraha. Now if we can say the English together. Oh dear brother, oh mine, having given up all pride, please develop unprecedented and excessive attachment to Sri Guru, to Sri Vrindavan, the abode of cows, to the devotee residents of Vrindavan, to all the devotees on this planet, to the confidential mantra given by Sri Guru, to the holy names of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, and to the process of surrendering to the fresh, youthful couple of Raja. Holding your feet, I beseech you with sweet words. So, you know, we sometimes hear about beating our mind with sticks and shoes, but here we're speaking very sweetly to the mind. So Raghunath Das Goswami talks about having unprecedented love, and he gives a list. So right now he's establishing the qualification is don't be ritualistic and mechanical. Don't take up bhakti yoga in a ritualistic, mechanical, impersonal way. You've got to have affection for guru. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, don't see the guru just as a saint. See the guru as your well-wishing friend, as Prabhupada would write, your ever-well-wisher. And this applies to our Diksha Gurus, our Shiksha Gurus. Frankly, it applies... Frankly, it applies to anyone who helps us on the spiritual path. Genuine affection. This is my friend. Again, we're going through this very quickly. Then, one-pointed attachment to the lotus feet. And these black and white pictures that are in the show are the pictures in our book, by the way. So, one-pointed attachment to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna as everything. And remember this one-pointedness. This will be important in the next verse. So this one-pointed attachment to Radha Krishna's lotus feet show us that this is a padati for going to Vrindavan. So if you want to go to Ayodhya, you want to go to Dwarka, you'd have to take these principles and apply them, use it as a template. But this is not really a guidebook for going to those places. And then attachment to the sacred places, actually love for Krishna's sacred places. People generally have love for so many places, right? I like to point out how people even visit the home of Sherlock Holmes in London. Although he doesn't, he never existed. Right? So people have affection for some place attached to some person. And we have affection for our homeland, right? Oh, this is my great-grandfather's house. They fight in a war for the piece of dirt that's on their side of the border, right? So much affection for their homeland. So we should have great affection for the sacred places connected with the Lord. That includes, just go back for a minute, that includes also our own altar in our own home, the temples that we visit. We shouldn't come here just, okay, I'm supposed to come to the temple. We should come because we have affection and love for the temple. Do service out of love. We should have affection for our altar space. And out of affection, keep it clean. Out of affection, do our service, not mechanically. Again, we're talking the qualifications for the path. Now, I find this fascinating because Raghunath Das Goswami talks about the different devotees for whom we should have unprecedented love. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, categorizes them as Kanistha Majjhima Uttama. However, how he's defining Kanistha Majjhima Uttama in this context is vastly different from how these categories are defined elsewhere. And I often make the point that Kanistha Majjhima Uttama basically just mean beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And you can be a beginner in many different ways in Krishna consciousness. It's just like when a child becomes an adult, they grow up physically, emotionally, socially, right? So when we look at beginner, intermediate, advanced, it's through different lenses in different lists. So here, the advanced devotees are those who live in Vraja, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, at least in their mind. So the advanced devotees in the context of Manashiksha are those who mentally live in Vrindavan. This is important and interesting for those of us who sometimes go to the Vrindavan in India and think, are these all Vrajvasis? To be a Vrajvasi, you have to mentally live in Vrindavan. It's nice if you also physically live there, but you've got to mentally live there. As Bhaktisiddhanta said, those who are in Radhakund, just, you know, doing business and cheating, they're not in Radhakund. They're in Narakakund. They're in hell. So the advanced devotees live mentally in Vrindavan, whether or not they physically live there. And how fascinating is this? The Majjhima devotees are those of any tradition. Any tradition, whether they live mentally in Vrindavan or not. Have love for them. Have unprecedented love for them. Not just respect. Not just, well, you know, we are the real devotees of God and they're kind of, you know, actual love. And then, love for the brahmanas who teach varnashram and worship of God.
Is that also in any tradition?
Well, one would assume so, since the middle was in any tradition. So this is, you know, the Kanistha are often called the Prakriti Bhaktas. It's on a more mundane level. So the people in the world who are teaching serve God, be moral, be ethical, follow the proper traditions. What is varnashram? Varna means you dedicate your life cycle to Krishna, to God. We talked about this yesterday in regard to Dasarath. And varna is you dedicate your career to the Lord. So anyone who's teaching this, do your work for the glory of God, be a steward rather than an exploiter. Anyone who's teaching, you know, be have a pious life and dedicate your life stages to God. Those people should be also not just respected, but loved. One should have unprecedented love for all three. And unprecedented love for the Gayatri Mantra. As Prabhupada would say, don't just say, Om Bhubhubhala, and now I've gotten my business done. You know? Okay, it's my Gayatri Mantra. But really love for the mantra. And if we meditate on the meaning of the mantra, if we meditate on how we're entering into the worship of the mantra, it's a kind of worship with great affection. And unprecedented love for the holy names, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the primary names of the Lord. And once again, this is the qualification for going on this path. If I chant the holy name as a ritual, as an obligation, as You know, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Okay, round's done. Now I can do what I want to do today. But love for the name. Even ordinary people love the name of those they love. There's so many love songs simply about someone's name, isn't there? Right? I remember when I was a teenager, there was one called Gloria. Yeah. Right? And there was one about Paul and Paula. I remember
that. West Side Story, Maria, Maria.
Oh, okay, right. There you go. I can see there's people of my generation in this room. So that, we should have love for Krishna's name like that. Right, Rupa Goswami, how much nectar is in the holy name of Krishna, the two syllables. And Prithviraj, praying. You know, give me millions of ears. Burajan, who likes to talk about this. Give me millions of ears. So unprecedented love. And this is our oil painting that we had done for this verse. Love for the holy land of Vrindavan, the Brahmanas, the abode of cows. And this is Nandagram from a description in Ananda Vrindavan Champu. And here we have a few close-ups from that painting. We also have some of these paintings as available as original oils, if you know anyone so inclined. So all this love, 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 love for Guru, for Radha Krishna, for my mantra, for the... Is that the only qualification? Because in every religion, people have love, right? Or they claim to have love. Oh, I love Krishna. I've been loving Krishna. No, the Christians, I love Jesus, right? You meet people like this? Lots of them? Yeah? Right? That's not all you have to do. That's okay. That's good. That's good. You got to have something else. Sada Dambam Itva. Always give up pride. If you want to start on the spiritual path, you have to give up pride. Always. And we translate this as completely give up pride. Completely. This is just verse 1, and I have to completely give up pride. Okay, I'm not going to bother getting this book. It's useless. I can't even start with verse 1. Now, although he's saying completely, always, it cannot be completely, always, absolute, because you're not going to completely give up pride until the end of verse 7. So in verse 1, Raghunath Das Goswami cannot be expecting absolute relinquishment of pride. Just like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, always think of Krishna for the beginning sadhaka means at least daily. So always give up pride at verse 1 is according to our present capacity and our present understanding, completely as to what I have. I always remember it was one Vyasa Puja, and this woman, very, very new to Krishna consciousness, offered obeisances to Prabhupada and said, now I completely surrender. And I thought, Right? But she was probably completely surrendering according to her that understanding and capacity at the time. So if I were by some miracle to be always humble now, it would not be really always humble according to the great devotees. Does that make sense to everybody? But one has to have at least basic humility to start this path to Vrindavan. Why? Some idea? Why without humility you're not going to get anywhere? Yeah?
A lack of humility means that we put ourselves in the position of the supreme enjoyer. So there's a competitive...
There's a conflict there. I can't want to be worshipping Krishna as the enjoyer if I think I'm the enjoyer. Excellent. Some other reasons why we have to start with humility. Yes?
Because it's cluttered. In other words...
Excellent. You can't be receptive. I'm repeating for the people who unfortunately can't see the presentation. If you're cluttered with all your preconceptions and ideas, you can't be receptive to truth. How can I learn from you if I think I already know? I mean, that's just a practical thing. Also, this whole process is getting rid of the false ego and revealing the real ego. That's what the whole path is. If you're not willing to relinquish your false ego, you might as well not even bother. Now, if you're going to take your false ego with you, I am great, I am perfect, I am powerful, I am happy, you know, forget it. You're just not going to be able to do even verse 4, what to speak of verse 7. Okay, as I said, moving on very quickly to verse 2. This verse Prabhupada quotes quite a bit. Okay, if we can sing this. Na dharmam, na dharmam, shruti gana niruktam kila kuru. Raja Radha Krishna Vachura Paripayam Vihatanu Shachi Shunam Nanishvara Pati Sutat Veguvaram Mukunda Prestat Vesmara Paramajasham Nanmana. Indeed, do not perform any pious acts prescribed in the Vedas and supporting literature, or sinful acts forbidden in them. Stay here in Vraja. Please perform profuse service to Sri Radha Krishna. O mind, unceasingly remember the son of Sachi as the son of Nanda Maharaj, and Sri Guru as the dearest servant of Lord Mukunda. So he says, don't do pious or impious activities. Well, then what do you do? Every activity, Bhaktivinoda said, can be categorized as either pious or impious. But we have in this nice verse from Bhagavad Gita, 4:17, there's three kinds of action: karma, vikarma, and akarma. So we can understand this injunction in two ways. One is, don't have an attachment to dharma or adharma. Having an attachment to dharma means thinking, I am a very dharmic person. I'm good. I follow the rules. I'm pious. And the attachment to adharma is, I'm a really bad person. I get away with whatever I can get away with. These are two kinds of abhiman. They're a self-concept. And, of course, if we're a devotee, we're generally a good person. Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat panita. Dharma comes from Krishna. The devotees are generally, not always, but generally acting in accord with dharma, but not because they think that they're dharmic. Right? Imagine the husband comes home and his wife said, I cooked this nice meal because I'm a good wife. Is that very pleasing? In a way, I thought you loved me. No, I'm just doing my duty because I'm a good wife. I just do the right thing all the time. Yes. You know, that's not the kind of relationship we want to have with Krishna. What devotees have gotten, or personalities in the Shastra, have gotten messed up on this I'm a dharmic person thing? Yudhisthira. Yeah, anybody else?
Harishchandra.
Bhishma. Some others. Prachini Barishai, yes, good. Karna is a nice example of this. I have my debt to Duryodhan. I know you're God. I know you're going to win. But I have my debt to Duryodhan that's higher. The Yajic Brahmanas. Right? So many examples of people who get hung up on this I'm a good person thing. Right? And we can also get hung up, I'm sure none of you have this problem, but we can also get hung up on the I'm a bad person. So instead, we don't want to do karma and vikarma because both of them entangle us in the cycle of karma. We want to instead act for Krishna. To take everything we have, our family, manasa deha geha yoke chumar arkiru tuva padi nandakisha. That should be the mood. And I call this the secret agent principle. So just like a secret agent, they're working for their own country. You know, they're in Russia working for America, but they have a cover. They pretend to be a car salesman or an English teacher or something like that. But their real interest is working for their government. So in a similar way, we're not anybody's mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, son, daughter. We all work for Krishna's company. What does Krishna's company sell? Prema. So we're all workers in Krishna's prema-selling company. This is our product. And everyone we interact with is therefore either a co-worker, a superior, a supplier, a customer, or a potential customer. And we deal with everyone on that basis, and then we're not in karma or vikarma, or dharma or adharma. Another way of understanding this done through dharma or adharma is from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that in the beginning, a work is said to be the means, and in an advanced stage, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. So that when one begins Krishna consciousness, one may still have some attachment to I'm a good person, and gradually one may come to this attachment, Jivara Swaipara Krishna Anujidash. So then we have the question of the one-pointedness. Raghunath Das Goswami told us to be one-pointed to Radha Krishna. What do we do about Lord Chaitanya? And I don't know why, but somehow he mentions Lord Chaitanya in terms of his mother and Krishna in terms of his father. The son of Sachi as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So we see, when we see Lord Chaitanya, we see Lord Chaitanya as Krishna in a different mood. So therefore, it's all one-pointed. In fact, we should see all the avatars like this. Prabhupada writes in 1865 in the Bhagavad Gita that one should only meditate on Krishna two-handed playing the flute and not divert his attention to any other incarnation. But we had a whole meditation on Lord Ramachandra yesterday. Were we violating that instruction? So if we see, here's my Krishna in the mood of Ramachandra. And I found it interesting that Raghunath Das Goswami in this verse identifies Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So, and then he also talks about having this attachment again to Radha Krishna. So I was thinking about, well, what painting could we have that shows Radha Krishna and Nanda Maharaj? And I thought about, well, there's a time that the gopis, including Radharani, are serving food to Krishna and Balaram, and Nanda Maharaj is there. But there's already a painting like that up in New Vrajdam in Hungary, and I want to do something different. And I thought, well, there's this pastime at Gandhiravan. Nanda Maharaj is taking out young Krishna, and Radharani appears there as a young forest goddess. And this is when there's a storm in Gandhiravan. And this is the story of Radha Krishna's marriage, where Radha Krishna married by Lord Brahma. And in our book, we give a synopsis of that story from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. So here we have worship of Radha Krishna and Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. This story is also alluded to in one of Prabodhananda Swami's commentaries in Gita Govinda, which we quote that also. And then what about Guru? Well, we already learned in verse 1, we have to have great love for Guru as our friend, right? Not just official, he's a saint. And of course, not love like some kind of groupie for a rock star either, but some genuine love. This is our well-wisher. But what do we do with the one-pointedness? And we find this is sometimes a problem. Now, how do I serve Krishna and Guru? What does that mean? And so Raghunath Das Goswami says, Mukunda Preshta, you see Guru as very dear to Krishna. I'm not sure how well you can see that black and white drawing, but it's Radha Krishna, each with one of their associates, pulling the devotees out of the material ocean. Kintu Paburya Priya Evitas. We see that the Guru is very dear to Krishna. So Prabhupada would sometimes say, Guru does not say, I am your friend. Guru says, Krishna is your friend. And Guru is your friend because they are bringing you to Krishna. And Guru is the friend of Krishna. So in this way, everything is one-pointed. Prema is everything is one-pointed to Krishna, but when you love Krishna, you love everyone that Krishna loves. You love everyone in relationship to Krishna. This is perfection. So one-pointed to Radha Krishna includes Lord Chaitanya and includes Guru. So this is the second verse of our orientation, our qualification. We go to the third verse of qualification, if we can sing this. Yati charavasam raja bhuvi saragam pratijanur yuva dvandvam tachet paricharitum aradam ase swarupam shirupam sadhanami atasya rajamapi Sutam pranityam smaranam tadatvam shimanah. Listen, O mind, if you desire in every birth to reside in the land of Raja with loving attachment and to serve the youthful couple Sri Sri Radha Krishna in close proximity, then clearly remember and offer obeisances to Sri Swarup, to Sri Rupa and his associates in Vrindavan, and to Sri Rupa's elder brother, Sri Sanatana. So Pratijana means life after life. And in his commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should be prepared, life after life, to engage in bhakti to attain Krishna. Said, by mercy it can of course happen faster. So I thought about Rukmini, where Prabhupada wrote in Krishna book. He said, if it were not possible in this lifetime to gain Krishna's favor by these activities, Rukmini was prepared to die from such austerities and to undergo similar difficulties lifetime after lifetime. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, the pure devotees of the Lord execute devotional service with great determination. Such determination as exhibited by Rukmini Devi is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor. So this is the qualification. Dridhavrita. If I can't attain your mercy in this life, who had this mood? I am prepared 10 million lifetimes. Vasudeva. Mukunda. Right? When Lord Chaitanya showed all his opulences and he's giving benedictions and he didn't want to see Mukunda, I'll see you in 10 million births. Oh, 10 million births! Okay, bring him in. Right? Whereas if we become insistent, Krishna, I have to see you now, right now. Look, I've chanted all these rounds. I've waved all these sticks of incense. I've distributed all these books. I gave all this money. I did this, and I did this, and I did this. Okay, come on. Krishna prema. It doesn't work. Imagine the man going home to his wife. You know, he offended his wife. Maybe even a big offense. We've made a pretty big offense to Krishna. So he offended his wife. Maybe he's has another 10 girlfriends, you know, and he comes home and he says, okay, I got your diamond bracelet, your dozen roses, an apology letter. Okay, come on, let me in. Will that work? What do you think? You think it will work? Oh, you're very soft-hearted. So, Krishna wants to see something else, right? He wants to see something else. This determination, Krishna, no matter how long it takes. And then Raghunath Das Goswami talks about Swarup Damodar, Rupa, Sanatana. We have a picture here of them that their books of the Goswamis are showering us with jewels. One of my grandchildren said, Grandma, isn't that going to hurt your head when all the jewels fall on your head? And so if we want to attain Krishna in Raja, at least at this time, on the earth planet, in the Kali Yuga, we are not going to be able to do this unless we follow Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, who doesn't mention himself, of course, and Swarup Damodar. It could be that you'll find Krishna in Vrindavan in the Catholic or Jewish or Muslim tradition or in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, but not so easily, isn't it? Not so easily. You go to any church, they're not going to be talking about, you know, Vraj Prem, even if some of their saints have attained it somehow by some Kripa Siddhi. If you really want Vraj Prem, especially Swarup Damodar, Swarup Damodar taught this system of how to attain Krishna in Vrindavan. I'll go back a little bit. He taught this system to two people, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jai Vidharma, to Vikeshwara Pandit and to Raghunath Das Goswami. Little different system. The system he taught to Vikeshwara Pandit, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the outer path, and the system he taught to Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the inner path. The outer path was put in a book by one of Vikeshwara Pandit's descendants. Do you remember if it was grand disciple or great grand disciple, Dhanachandra Goswami? Grand disciple. So Dhanachandra Goswami compiled this book, Gaur Govind Archana Smarana Padati, which is a description of the outer path of spontaneous love. It's a large book that contains a lot of mantras and meditations done in a particular order, in a particular way. If one were to do this, and it's a bona fide system, if one were to do this, one would not be able to work in the world. You wouldn't have time. It takes so many hours. And it's external in the sense it's giving you something very specific and detailed to do. He does not in that book give any qualifications. What are the qualifications for doing this? Nor does Venachandra Goswami talk about what happens internally. And because of that, this outer path taken alone is very easy, or somewhat easy at least, to fake. Even if you're not qualified, you can sit down and say all the mantras and have your drawing of Raja you meditate on. And I've seen people do this in Radhakund. Yes? And also, he gives your own internal meditation for your own identity in that book. And this, of course, has given rise to Siddha Pranali, which is also, can be bona fide if the guru is qualified and the disciple is qualified. But again, it's very easily faked. And you can have an unqualified guru who has unqualified, okay, you're a 13-year-old Manjari with a blue sari, and you're a 13-year-old Manjari with a blue sari, and you're all 13-year-old Manjaris with a blue sari, and you all say this mantra and go through this process, and you will attain Vraja. And it became cheapened, although the path is bona fide. Raghunath Das Goswami's inner path, as also received from Swarup Damodar, cannot be faked. You cannot fake Manashiksha. You can't do it. You can't cheapen it. You can't fake it. The other thing about the inner path is it's not distinguishable externally. So those on the inner path of spontaneous love are doing the same things externally as those in Vaidhi Bhakti. And if you think that Rag Bhakti is the outer path, you'll look at those doing the inner path and think they're not doing anything. Does that all make sense to everybody? Do you all follow that? If you're following the outer path, you're spending all these hours every day doing these mantras and meditations. And if you're on the inner path, you may not be doing that. You may be, you know, going out on Sankirtan and doing all the things that we do, but inside, you're changing. So Bhakti Swarup Damodar, not Bhakti Swarup Damodar, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said, I'm going to teach the inner path of Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, we use some things from the outer path, but he established the inner path of Ragmarg. And one of my granddaughters redid this Gaudiya Math logo to make it more readable. The only copies we had were very, very poor resolution. She updated the printing press also, because the printing press and the old Gaudiya Math logo, you'd look at it, you wouldn't know what it was. And she made the words in Roman, Sanskrit Roman, rather, they were in originally Bengali. Prabhupada took this Gaudiya Math logo and put it on our gates in Mayapur. And we analyze in the book, we have a chapter where we specifically analyze how Manashiksha presents the path to Krishna in Vrindavan according to this, in the same way that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was teaching. And we base a lot of our analysis on the Gaudiya Math logo. And if you see, we've also had accusations like that about Srila Prabhupada, right? That he wasn't really teaching spontaneous love. He's just teaching Vaidhi Bhakti. He's just teaching, you know, external rules. But you see in studying Manashiksha that Srila Prabhupada is definitely, without any doubt, giving us the path of spontaneous love to Krishna in Vrindavan, as given by his guru Bhaktisiddhanta, as given by Raghunath Das Goswami in Manashiksha, as received from Swarup Damodar. So what is the difference in Vaidhi Bhakti? One is holding the Bhagavad Gita like one is half asleep. One's not aware, and one doesn't have an inkling of one's identity. One is following mostly out of logic and fear. And in the awakening of Raga, one starts to wake up and one starts to follow out of joy and from inner impetus. But on the inner path of spontaneous love, the external activities of bhakti are the same. And both those in Vaidhi and in Ragmarg, they all do all of the angas of bhakti. Again, simplifying, and this is, I don't have time for in-depth here. And the one's feeling for Krishna should open like the bud of a flower, a gradual opening in bhakti of our feelings for Krishna. And as Raghunath Das Goswami in this verse uses the word saragam, one should have some attachment, some feeling for Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes in his commentary a verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada translates in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, speaking about Krishna, loving Krishna in the five primary rasas. So we've illustrated Right, these five verses, this is Krishna with his primary servants, Raktak and Patrak. Or one may awaken to a feeling of friendship with Krishna, with his primary friends like Sridham and Subal and Ujjvala. Or a feeling of parental love. We see here Rohini with Balaram, Yasoda with Krishna. There's Nanda, Yasoda, Rohini with Krishna and Balaram. Or a feeling of amorous attraction with Krishna and his chief gopi. So our painting here, because verse 3 is dealing with just the beginning awakening of a feeling for Krishna. Things are kind of hazy. So we have the dust from the cows, and you're kind of just seeing Krishna from behind. And in this painting, we have the chief devotees in all of the five rasas. Now you can say, well, Arila, but I haven't had a beginning awakening of a feeling for Krishna. Am I allowed to read Manashiksha? The answer is yes, if you even want to, if you desire to have such an awakening. And what's nice about Manashiksha is, although it's a padati for spontaneous love, it does not contain any intimate lilas. So it's not a book like, you know, Govinda Lilamrita or Gita Govinda or something like that, Ujjvala Nilamani, that we say, no, no, this is not for the beginners. In Manashiksha, all the principles, all the way to verse 12, can be applied even to the beginners. And we've even put together a separate, different presentation for a general audience on some basic principles of Manashiksha. So are we ready for the path now? Do we have some love for Guru and for Radha and Krishna and for holy places, and we see Lord Chaitanya and Guru properly? We don't think we're a good person or a bad person. And we at least want to awaken our spontaneous love for Krishna. We're willing to do whatever it takes. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right. Now we're going to go on the path. We're going to do two verses today. I'm probably going to go a little bit overnight. Try to not go too much overnight. These two verses today are going to be more about grosser stuff, and the two verses tomorrow are going to be about the subtle stuff. So this first verse is about what we talk about. It's about sound. Okay, ready?
Jagasrujamati sarvasvaharini katamuti vyagraya nukhila sarvatma gihani apitvatama Pati Rati Vito Vyomanaini Raja Radha Krishna Swarati Mani Dottam Bhajamana.
O mind, abandon the prostitute of mundane talks who plunders all intelligence. Do not listen at all to the stories of the tigress named Mukti, liberation, who devours all souls. Moreover, also give up attachment to the husband of Lakshmi, Sri Narayana, who only leads one to Vaikuntha. Instead, here in Raja, serve Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who give one the jewel of their own love. Why is speech so important? What we talk about, what we hear. First of all, it reveals our heart. It reveals our heart. We say, I love Krishna, I love Guru, I love Lord Chaitanya, I want to go to Vrindavan. And let me tell you about politics. Do you know that devotee over there? They did this, and that, and they did this, and this. And me, I'm wonderful, and I'm great, and I'm the most qualified. There's a devotee contacting me some time ago about some service, and half of the conversation was about how he was the most qualified person on the planet. We reveal our heart by our speech. We reveal our heart by our speech. What did Prabhupada say? A well-dressed fool cannot be recognized until he opens his mouth. My dear friends, what we talk about reveals who we really are. Are we always talking about, you know, the politics and the sports and the entertainment? Are we talking about gossip? Are we glorifying ourselves directly, indirectly? What are we talking about? Oh, the wolf in sheep's clothing? Yeah. A devious talk. Now, what we talk not only reveals the current state of our heart, it creates our future. How is the whole material world created? By?
Sound.
Sound. And we create our own future by sound, my dear friends. What we talk about, what we hear about, is forming our next body. If we're going to go to Krishna and Vrindavan, we better start talking about Krishna and Vrindavan. We better start talking about our service, glorifying the other devotees. And Raghunath Das Goswami, someone complained to me in Houston, he said, Mataji, this talk is a little crude. I said, I'm sorry, it's Raghunath Das Goswami's crudeness, you know? What do I do? He says that talking about mundane things is like a prostitute that takes your wealth. What's your wealth? Everything you had in verse 1 through 3, that's your wealth. She takes it away. Why a prostitute? Why do you think he uses this metaphor? Any idea?
Not blood.
Yes. No chastity, yes. What else?
Also very seductive. It just pulls us in.
Pulls you in, right. Oh, I want to watch that. Yeah, I know. I have, but I want to watch that.
The Prabhupada gives explanation, 6th canto of the purport about the, he says, because the prostitute changes clothes constantly to attract. Oh, yes, that works.
Always changing clothes to attract, yes.
A certain part of the body, yeah, he talks about that. And so the mind is like that, and it's constantly, oh, this.
Over there, right? A monkey mind. Right, you're trying to chant, and the mind says, what about that? What about, oh, this and that? And you have this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. They're all so much more important. And the prostitute appears to be giving love. I'm going to give you love and a relationship and pleasure. Is she? No. Does she love her customers, the prostitute?
No.
In fact, she hates them. She has contempt for them. So we think mundane talks is going to give us so much happiness. And, you know, I've heard devotees say, it's my service to criticize the other devotees. You know, that I have this website that I maintain. This is my service to ISKCON. I'm going to purify the whole society. Have you ever heard people talk like this? I have. It's my job to purify ISKCON by listing all the faults of the devotees. You know? And they're thinking, this is my service. And all their spiritual wealth is gone. I remember once visiting a devotee in Vrindavan to pick up a CD for my husband. And I had to go to the place that he was staying in. It was this dark room. The curtains were all closed. It was all full of mildew. You know, and I go in there and he's like, Amala, there's no bliss here anymore. And I said, Prabhu, just get out of your room. No? Hare Krishna. All right. Then, talks about liberation.
What did you say? No bliss?
This devotee said there's no bliss here in Vrindavan anymore. He was like this. He said, there's no bliss here in Vrindavan anymore. Where is the bliss? He said, I remember in the old days all the devotees were. He's just kind of talking just like that. And I was sort of like... I said, Prabhuji, you might want to get out of your room and meet all the blissful devotees that are outside of this. He had all the curtains, all these black curtains drawn. So then Raghunath Das Goswami says also, there's the talk of liberation. Talking about liberation is a tigress that will eat the self. Oh, I'm so tired of being in this material world, I can't wait to get out. Talking about liberation. The tigress that eats herself. Why? Tigress, they're beautiful. Some people keep them as pets. You know? And we may think this desire for liberation is so spiritual. But the desire for liberation is the antithesis of the desire for love. The opposite. Right? In the marriage ceremony, we bind. Yes? We bind the couple's hands. We bind their clothes. The modern idea of love is, I'll be free, and you'll be free, and we'll still love. This is the modern idea of love, isn't it? But there's no love. If I'm free and you're free, then as soon as you leave your dirty socks on the floor, the love is finished. Isn't it? That's not love. I really like it in Madhava Mahotsava, Jiva Goswami, when Radharani's crowned the queen of Vrindavan. She says, may all those bound be liberated. And her friends go, no. You know, when Krishna says to Rukmini, you're free. You're free to go. Marry Shishupal. Marry somebody more qualified. She says, no, she faints. Now, of course, love for Krishna is liberation because it's voluntary. It's not forced like our material bodies. It is voluntary. It's on the platform of complete freedom. But this desire for this liberation, you cannot. If we are maintaining in our hearts a desire for Krishna prema and a desire for liberation, it's like we're being torn into two different opposite directions. And our self is being eaten. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's like a prisoner who wants to become free by committing suicide. And he quotes Rupa Goswami, the desires for bhakti and mukti are like two witches. Then in addition to giving up talking about liberation and talking about material things, he says also give up your affection for Lakshmipati. And it's interesting that Raghunathas Goswami calls Lord Narayana Lakshmipati. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the problem is that the residents of Vaikuntha want to enjoy the Lord's opulences with the Lord. So I give the example, I met one person a while ago who said, I'd like to have very rich friends. I said, oh, it doesn't make you envious? Said, no. He said, it's very nice when they have a birthday party for their kids and they spend $10,000, then our kids get to go to the birthday party and they get to play on the bouncy castle and they get to see the magician and they get to swim in the pool and I have another rich friend with a yacht and when we visit him, we get to go on his yacht and I don't have to maintain the yacht, I can go on his yacht. Now, he wasn't just friends with these people because they were rich. He was friends with them because he genuinely liked them, but he also liked the perks that came along with having rich friends. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura says those who go to Vaikuntha, they genuinely love Narayana, and they also love the perks that come along with loving Narayana. And he said some of them are more focused on those perks and some more on service, but in either case, they want to enjoy the opulence. So give up attachment for this, like the gopis who say to Narayana, please, show us your form as Krishna. How to give this up? How to give up attachment for enjoying the Lord's opulences, for liberation, for mundane talks? He says, get a jewel of service. Get a jewel of service. Service in the with the love of Radha and Krishna. This is an illustration from a pastime where Radha is decorating Krishna after bathing in Radhakund in the lotus pavilion. And jewels are powerful, right? Prime Govinda Prabhu can tell you that jewels are very powerful. Prabhupada said that Dhruva Maharaj decorated himself with jewels before going on the Vaikuntha airplane. He said, now it's hard to get such jewels. I mean, unless you can go to Govinda and Sons. He says, so Prabhupada says, so now we just wear tilak. But these jewels were very powerful. They could cure diseases. They could change one's fortune. So if one has this jewel of service, this jewel of loving service, love is shown in service, just giving. This love between Radha and Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan, it's a jewel of giving, of caring, of wanting the other's happiness that increases one's happiness more and more and more. And when one is holding this jewel, this beautiful jewel, we saw a jewel at your shop, right? That opal, what was it, $14,000? $14,000. One little rock, you know? Imagine how, and it's so enchanting, was this opal, you know, you kind of look into this. Imagine how enchanting is the jewel of the love in Vrindavan. So enchanting that we no longer care about prostitutes and tigers and even Lakshmipati. So I'd like to go on to do one more verse today, otherwise we'll never finish tomorrow. Is that okay if I go another 10 minutes? Is that all right with everybody? Okay. So now, at this point, we've got our talking down. I mean, maybe not 100%, but pretty much by verse 5, our speaking and hearing is spiritual. I mean, overall, maybe, you know, maybe everyone's throwing this up, but basically it's there. Now we're going to worry about what we do. But remember, these two verses are gross. Tomorrow's two are going to be subtle. Okay, we ready? Asatyeshta kasta pradavikata aiha prakamankamadi prakata patapati yakikarai gale badvahanyeha miti bakabi varma pakane kuru trambutkara mavati sayata twamana ita. Well, here on the revealed path of devotion. No, wait, let's do this again. Let's stop. This is in quotes, so this has got to be something that we're saying. It's got to have some emotion in it, okay? While here on the revealed path of devotion, I have been attacked by the hideous gang of lust, etc., who have bound my neck with the troublesome, dreadful ropes of wicked deeds. I am being killed. Cry out piteously like this to the devotees of Sri Krishna, the destroyer of Baka. Oh, mind, they will save you from these enemies. This is do we walk our talk. We're talking, at this point, we're talking about Krishna, but what do we do? And in every tradition, including ours, we have hypocrites. Krishna, 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 and secretly, Maya, Maya, Maya. They're talking about Krishna. Talking about Krishna. And these are people, they've already got this jewel. They've got the jewel of service to Krishna in Vrindavan. They have some attractions, they're not ordinary people. They have a jewel. They're on the shining revealed path of devotion, but there are highwaymen. We don't have very many highwaymen anymore in America. I know there's some roads in India, they say don't drive on them in the dark. Or you go to South Africa, they tell you be careful with the robots. Does anyone know what the robots are in South Africa? The traffic lights. When I first went there, they said, be careful with the robots. I'm like, the robots? So the traffic lights, you roll up your windows, you lock your door, and you, as soon as the light turns green, you, because there's highwaymen. They stop at you with the traffic lights, take your car, and sometimes take your life. So who are these? Yeah, seriously. Okay, one devotee there, her son was killed at a traffic light by car thieves. So who are these highwaymen? For those who are speaking and hearing about Krishna, well, we've met them, and I'm sorry, my artist drew them all as males. So, lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, madness. And they are binding us, I don't know where you can see that, but the ropes are made of wicked deeds. This is, again, gross behavior. And we're bound around the neck like a dog. You know, somebody is pounding their TV, leave me alone! And it's pulling them around the neck like a dog. Arjuna talked about this, didn't he say? Why is a person forced to act sinfully as if against his will? I want Krishna, I want Krishna, I'm talking about Krishna, I'm hearing about Krishna, and why am I being pulled like a dog? I'm so embarrassed. So embarrassed. I want to be a nice person and I yell at my kids. I want to be Krishna conscious and I watch something I'm not supposed to. Do something I'm not supposed to. Eat something I'm not supposed to. Although I'm talking about Krishna, I want to be Krishna, I'm so embarrassed and so ashamed. But this is about deceiving others. Tomorrow we'll talk about deceiving ourselves. This is about deceiving others. Yes, I am a preacher, I am a devotee, and secretly, so many things. So what is the cure? The cure has to do with a crane. So a crane is the hypocrite. Big yogi, standing on one leg, deep in meditation. Until along comes a...
Fish.
Oh, fish. Aha! And then, yogi. So this is hypocrisy. And Krishna kills this hypocrisy. So Raghunathas Goswami says, if you want to get free from hypocrisy, you go not to the killer of hypocrisy, but to the devotees of the killer of hypocrisy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, quotes a verse crying out for devotees such as Narada, Bhishma, and Arjuna. And here they are on the shining path of devotion. And here we have a little close-up of them. Please protect me on this path of bhakti, you who are devotees of the killer of Baka. And when we cry out with humility, Sada dambangitva, without pride. It takes a lot of humility to say, I'm being led around like a dog on a leash by my lust or by my greed. Doesn't that take a lot of humility? That's not an easy thing to say. Here I have some love for Krishna and Guru and Lord Chaitanya, and I'm talking about Krishna, but I'm being led. Who wants to say that? So to say that requires some authenticity, some humility. And when we call like that to the devotees, they release us. Why? There's not just any devotee. It has to be a devotee of Bhakti. Why? Because these are the people who are themselves free of hypocrisy. To become free of hypocrisy, you have to have a level of humility and honesty. You have to be willing to have these bad masters taken out of your life. You have to be willing to cut the ropes that appear to be enjoyable. Prabhupada says, nectar devotion. Everything we do is motivated by the desire for rasa. So all these wicked deeds, they're all motivated by the desire to taste some sort of perverted rasa in this world. It's a lie to say, I don't really want to do it. When Arjuna said, I don't really want to do it, he said, yes, you do. It's your desire. It's your kama. It is your desire. So the honest, authentic devotees have faced, I actually do want to enjoy it this way. Although I'm talking about Krishna, I have some affection for Krishna. I do really want to enjoy it this way. How fallen and pathetic I am. They were willing to face that. They were willing to see themselves honestly. And they were willing to have Bhaka be the killer of Bhaka, remove that illusion of rasa from their heart. They were willing to pay the price of full engagement on every level in bhakti. And those people can free us by their inspiration, by their example, by their instruction. And then when we are freed by their association and their instruction, then our heart becomes like a crystal stone, reflecting their qualities, and we also become free from hypocrisy. So now here at the end of verse 5, we have some love and affection for Guru, for our mantras, for the holy name, for the holy places, for all the kinds of devotees, those who live in Raja in their mind, those of all traditions, whether or not they live in Raja in their mind, for the teachers of pious God-conscious work in the world. We have as much humility as we can muster. We don't think of ourselves as a good person or a bad person. We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, Guru as Krishna's friend. We are following the principles laid out by Swarup Damodar. We are talking only about spiritual things, hearing only about spiritual things, and our activities are all very good. We no longer do any wicked deeds. All of our deeds are good. But we're not done. We're not done. We have two more enemies who we will meet and conquer tomorrow, after which we will then enter into perfection. So thank you very much. We've gone rather late. I don't think we have time for questions, for which I profusely apologize. If you want to come to our more in-depth seminars, we'll be doing those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 6:30 in Krishna House, and that will be starting with verse 6. On Monday. So thank you. We do have the books here if you would like to.